Welcome to Spotlight with Kat Siggers, the show where we deep dive into all things nerdy, from entertainment news and pop culture to Marvel, Star Wars, DC and WWE. We will be covering it all. I'm your host, Kat Siggers, and have we got a whopper of a first episode for you today. The first guest we've got for you is not only a fantastic actor and voice actor, but she's also one of the nicest human beings I've had the pleasure of talking to. She's graced our screens and ears for many years, but she's best known to us nerds for her role in The Mandalorian. Her character is of great importance in keeping the culture of the Mandalorians alive, and she provides them with all the armor they need to help them survive and thrive. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the one and only Emily Swallow.
So my first question for you is, have you always been a Star Wars fan, or have you become a Star Wars fan since being in The Mandalorian?
I have always been, I would say, like an entry-level Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I was born like in the midst of the three movies coming out. So I didn't see, yeah. I certainly didn't see the first two in the theater. I wasn't around, but I remember as soon as I laid eyes on an Ewok, I was in love. And you know, Princess Leia. I have an older brother. He's 7 years older than me. So he was the one that, you know, got to see them first run in the theater, and he loved it. And of course I wanted to do whatever he did. So I it was like part of the fabric of my childhood. And I had a, like I said, an entry level knowledge, but once I got cast, I realized how much I did not know. And I have now become a much bigger fan, and of the fandom, because people are so knowledgeable and have so much incredible imagination. And the fact that this series of movies and shows and books has been a jumping off point for so much creativity is just such a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Oh, wow. I mean, that sounds like you've come on like a whole journey with it all, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what I would so love to know is, obviously, this character wears a helmet throughout.
Yes.
Right? You never take your helmet off.
Never.
As an actor, how is that? Like, did you have to adapt in a different way, or was it very much like voice acting? Like, what was that kind of, what was different about not having your face shown on screen with this role?
It's very different from voice acting in that, I mean, one of the things I love about voice acting is when you're in the booth, you can do whatever you want. You know, you can move however you want. You can try to get the lines out, and it doesn't matter, because what matters is the vocal performance. But for this, my body very much matters. And if anything, I think people are more aware of the physicality of the people who wear helmets, the Mandalorians, because they can't take facial cues. So I had done mask work in grad school for the stage, which is also sort of different, simply because when you're on stage, the audience can see your entire body. So you're able to communicate with them continually. But for something that's being filmed, you don't know when the camera's going to cut to you. So you have to make sure you're communicating what you want to communicate at the right moments. Mm-hmm. And it was this wonderful playground when we first started shooting. I had done some work on my own to kind of feel my way into how she would move and make some decisions. And I tried to sort of look in the mirror and test some things out, but I'm no good at judging myself. And so the first few episodes that we shot, we were shooting one and three at the same time. So Deborah Chow and Dave Filoni, who were directing, were just a wonderful sounding board to let us know what worked, what translated, what didn't. And I will say it is challenging for me in that she is a lot more still than I am. But in that sense, it's also so delicious to live in her space, because she calms me and she grounds me. And so it did pretty much every time, though, during season one, it felt a little awkward because I was just sort of self-conscious and I was wondering if it was working. And when I got to see the season, it gave me a lot more confidence. And I realized then when I went back to do the episode of The Book of Boba Fett, I could slip into her with a lot more confidence. And, a lot less self-consciousness about whether or not it was reading, because I sort of just felt and could trust it. But I love, love living in her space.
It sounds beautiful, to be honest with you. If you're saying you felt so grounded and like, it sounds like you sound that she's quite a present character in your opinion.
Yes, she's very present. She's not rushed at all. I think she has incredible patience.
Yeah.
And I think she really trusts people. Not like she's naive, but she trusts that given the proper challenges, the proper encouragement, the proper push, they will come into themselves. I mean, I think that the way she sort of mentors Din Djarin, there's a lot of tough love at the beginning. She doesn't give him much, but she knows if she gives him these little nudges to go the way he should go instead of the easier, softer way, he will become a better Din Djarin, and he does.
I'm curious now to find out, what was your research process like? Because obviously this character is so heavily invested in like the Mandalorian lore and like making sure that she's keeping like the spirit of the Mandalorians alive. And I just wonder, like, did you feel like you had to do more research than maybe you normally would for a character?
Yes. Because, oh my gosh, there's just so much material to draw from. Yeah. The good news though, the godsend, is that we had Dave Filoni on set, and he is a walking encyclopedia of Star Wars knowledge. So I, of course, wanted to make sure I had done my due diligence so that I wouldn't ask any dumb questions and to give me a sense of the culture of the Mandalorians, because I had never watched any of the animated shows prior to being cast. So I wasn't up on the Clone Wars and Rebels and all that. And there's just so much intricate history. And one of the things I love about creating a character is when you do have someone who's grounded in a very specific place and time, and there are rules for that society that then tell you, they give you great clues as to how this particular person feels and acts and whether they agree with the rules of that society or not. There's a framework that they're going to be reacting to constantly. So knowing what the rules of the Mandalorian society were was very helpful. There's still so much mystery that surrounds the character. They haven't really told me where she comes from. I have no idea where she's going. All of these people are, you know, now that it's been announced that there's going to be a movie, they're like, oh, a movie, huh? And I'm like, to me,
I don't know.
I mean, I hope that we get to see more of her, but I never know.
We all hope that. We all hope you. That.
Thank you. And the other,
so where
the
do you
thing? Sorry, just one more thing. The other wonderful thing that they gave me to kind of find her space was John said that they'd really gone back to a lot of what George Lucas drew from in the Kurosawa films, and so that was very helpful with her movement, because she is somebody who's a warrior but is also has a sort of spiritual presence. So that was a lot of fun to just watch that and let it wash over me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it sounds like you really deep dove into all of the realm of Star Wars to really create who she is.
Yeah.
But it's interesting then you said, I don't know where she came from. Have you created that in your mind just for your backstory or?
Loosely, yeah. I'm not the kind of actor usually who needs like a super detailed character backstory, and even less so for her, because I feel like it's not helpful for me to think of her sometimes as too much of an individual with, I mean, she is an individual and she has personal baggage, but I feel like she represents something greater than any of that.
Yeah.
And I think that for the most part, she is able to walk through the world with that selflessness and that awareness that no matter where she comes from, no matter what she wants, ultimately what she wants is the greatest good for her people. Yeah. And more than any other character I've played, it's more kind of the personal things, I guess, that I link to don't necessarily all fit together. It's sort of, I go scene, well, certainly in season one, I went scene by scene with her because there weren't that many scenes. And then season three was a challenge because all of a sudden there was so much of her compared to what we'd seen. And I wanted to be careful because I feel like she is a character that we enjoy more if we don't know too much. And if there's a constant, you know, what's her angle? What's she, what's she going for? Or as some people thought in season three, is she evil? Which I don't think she is, but there's a lot of theory.
I've not heard that.
She's so good.
No, she's one of the good ones.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. So where would you like to, I know you don't know where she's going next, but where would you like her to go next?
Well, I mean, we got a lot of work to do on Mandalore. And I feel like she, girlfriend, is making a lot of armor for a lot of Mandalorians. And I think it would be fun to see her with an apprentice. Because also if she had an apprentice, then she could maybe go off and join Din Djarin and Din Grogu on some of their adventures and just pop up different places.
Because I mean, she's pretty good in a fight, right?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like she could be pretty useful out there rather than just in, you know, making the armor. You know, I feel like she should actually use it.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
It is sort of funny that she makes all of this and yet she's pretty basic in her own fighting style.
Did you do the fighting?
I've done some of it. So season one, I had no idea that there was going to be a big fight until like 2 weeks before. And then I saw the script and I approached our fight coordinator and I was like, put me in, coach. I want to do it. Like, I'll train for it. I'll whatever. And I'm very athletic and I have some dance background and some like stage combat, but I don't have any, or at that point I didn't have any training in martial arts. And the fighting style for the armorer is based in Filipino stick fighting. And so Ryan, our fight coordinator, he was like, oh, that's so cute that you want to do that. No, but you're welcome to learn some choreography and, you know, just try to pick some stuff up. And so I did for a couple of weeks. And then they shot that fight with a properly trained martial artist, stunt performer, Lauren Kim, who is phenomenal. But I wasn't there when they shot it. So I didn't see the fight until the episode aired. And I watched it and I was like, oh, okay. I get it.
Because I understand that now.
Yeah. I was like, you would have seen me trying so hard, but it would not have been as beautiful. So like he had me come in and do like some of the transitions and like striking a pose and, you know, very basic stuff. But because of that, I wanted to make sure I was more prepared if and when I got asked back. And so I have worked with Lauren and I've worked with Diana Inosanto, who is in the second season of Mando, and Ahsoka. And I've worked with Latif Crowder, who's Mando's main stunt double. And they've all been so generous and just helped me to pick up the foundation of this fighting so that I can do more. So then in the Book of Boba Fett, I did learn the sequence with the darksaber, that training. And I learned as much as I could for season three, but sometimes they would just won't let us do a fight because if something happens to us, then they're out of luck. Yeah.
Well, that's it. They really have to protect you. You know, we can't have you going anywhere because we've got to see you.
Thank you. I hope so. But you know, even if I don't get to do the fights, I love learning them because it's just part of the language of her movement. Yeah. So it helps me understand the character better to understand how she fights and to have input sometimes on what she might do.
Yeah, definitely. Do you get to have a lot of input into how the character is and kind of not necessarily what she does, but the way in which she is? Do you get to have that input?
Yes. John and Dave are so wonderfully trusting. It's a beautiful, beautiful collaboration on that show. And I'm just so grateful to them for that because they're brilliant. They come up with such wonderful writing and their instincts are right. But they, if there's something happening that makes one of us go, you know, I think she might, could we try this this way? This might go this other way. They're so open to discussion. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure that it feels right to us because they do trust us who have been playing these characters for a while now. And so, and sometimes we will shoot multiple versions of a scene because mm-hmm. they feel like it could go a few different ways. And especially with the characters who are wearing helmets, they can change the dialogue whenever they want because you don't have to worry about lip syncing. Mm-hmm. So I love watching it when it airs because I don't necessarily know which version of the story they've chosen. And so I do have to be careful. When season 3 was airing, I was doing a lot of conventions. So I would have to make sure that I watched that week's episode before that weekend's convention so that I didn't talk about something that hadn't happened or, you know, spill the beans on something that should have happened or was going to happen in the next episode. But yeah, yes, wonderful collaboration. Oh my gosh.
I guess that kind of forces you though to like watch it and like be up to date with the rest of the story as well.
Yes.
But it sounds lovely though that you're able to have that collaboration because you don't always get that on film or on a creative endeavor. So it's nice that you were able to put your stamp, so to speak, mm-hmm. on the character. So I love the accent, obviously.
Thank
being
you.
Being a Brit, I bloody love it. Were you inspired by anyone in particular for that? Or do you just have like a natural flair for accents, or did you have like a voice coach or anything?
I have had to do a number of British dialects for various roles and, you know, everything from very proper to Cockney and some of the regional dialects. But the reason the Armorer has it is simply because when I went in for the audition, and my audition was so low key, like there was nobody from the show there. It was just the casting associate and myself. And he was taping me and he said, look, we've been seeing a lot of Brits for this. And so I think you should do a take with a British dialect if you're able to do one. And so I did. And then even though I am not British, we decided to keep it. John liked it because it sort of sets her apart from everyone else. And
yeah,
I try not to make I call it British-ish. You know, I'm not trying to be too specific to any area because it is just sort of a random thing.
No, I think props to you though that you went in and they was like, "Oh, could you do a British accent for this?"
I mean, I'm lucky. I do learn accents well. Thank but there's God. Not too many I can do on the spot, so I'm glad that it was British and not like Australia. I mean,
what a whopper! Like Jesus, I would have gone in there and been like, if it was American, I'd been like,
"I want to hear your American accent.
Give me a minute."
No.
Oh, I would offend you. I would so offend you, I swear. Go on, give me a line then. Go on, give me a line. Give me a line.
Well, I guess I have to say something American.
You do.
I can bring you in hot or I can bring you in cold.
I can bring you in hot or I can bring you in cold.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can bring
you in cold. I know that like American is so vague and general.
No, I mean, do you know what bothers me though, actually, is when I get like audition, like casting calls and it says general American and I'm like, what is general American?
Yeah.
You've got your California, you've got your Southern, you've got your New York. I'm like, there's so many accents. Like, what is general American? So I'm probably sure you see general British, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. What's
general American? And I'm like,
that's a voiceover. Cues that they give, I'm like, what? They're like Eastern European, which is a lot of countries. Okay.
Let's be specific here then.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh well, I'm glad I didn't butcher it too much.
No,
it
was
not. So tell me more about these conventions then, because I know you're a fan of going to the conventions. What is your favorite part about it? Why do you love going to them?
Oh my goodness. I just love all the people I meet. And that's everyone from the fans, because I'm going to parts of the country that I would otherwise perhaps never get to see. Big cities, small cities, podunk little towns, all over the world. And I just get to meet people in the midst of this, the fullness of their love for Star Wars or Supernatural or, you know, whatever it is that they're a fan of. And I particularly love it because I miss, when I'm not doing theater, I really miss having that audience there. The audience is such an integral part of this storytelling that we're doing. And at the conventions, I get to finally meet the audience in real time and talk with them about how, I mean, hearing the stories about how something like Star Wars has impacted generations of people, and especially with this character, seeing the impact that she has on girls and women, it is just, I have no words to properly describe it. And then I also get to meet these wonderful actors and musicians that I maybe haven't had a chance to work with and might never work with on a set, but I get to talk to them about their work. And I mean, someone, a huge example of that is Giancarlo, who plays Moff Gideon, because we never worked together on the show. We were never on set together. But I have done so many conventions with him now, and I've gotten to know him and what a phenomenal person he is and what a creative person he is. He's constantly working on something. So just getting the chance to meet all these people and go all over the world, it's a riot. I love it.
Oh my gosh, it sounds amazing. I've actually never been to a convention before, but definitely on my list.
Where are you based? On my list. What city?
I'm in Kent.
Okay.
In UK.
Well, I'll be in so London. I can get in May.
Yeah. That's... You're coming to London in May. Mm-hmm. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I might have to come then.
You should.
Just come and see you. See you. That'd be I was going to say brilliant then. It's not a word.
Oh, I like that.
Great and brilliant.
Brilliant. Like great brilliant. And brilliant.
That's the new, exactly. It's a new one. But yeah, no, that would be cool. I saw a video of you surprising people. What's it like when you surprise people when they don't know that it's you that's coming out in the like the full gear?
It's so much fun. Especially the first time I did it. I think that the video that I have probably pinned on my Instagram, I'd never done that before. So nobody had any reason to suspect it. Now they're a little wise to it. But I have some friends who are in the local 501st in Ohio, where that convention was. And we became friends at one of the last conventions I did before the pandemic. And we kept in touch, and Brett made me an armorer costume for my dog. And then when I was coming to Cleveland for this convention, he said, "You really need to have your own set of armor." And I was like, "Oh, Brett, don't worry about that. Like, that's too much." So he surprised me with it. And then we said, "Well, we have to put it to use." So it was their idea to go. This was before the convention officially opened. So I was the 501st. Usually all the members will dress up in their kits, and they'll go just like mill around the people who are waiting in line to get into the convention and sort of keep them entertained and help them stay awake if they've been up too late. And so I was just with a bunch of other people who were dressed up. So everyone assumed I was just another cosplayer. And it was so much fun because, you know, I had that mic in there. And so, you could hear my entire inner monologue. Yeah. And and there is such a thrill to sort of walking around completely anonymous and then interacting with people who, like, there was this one guy who was decked out in a two-piece suit that had Star Wars emblems all over it. And he was so excited. And I went over to him with Brett. And Brett said something like, "You know, are you going to get something from the armorer? You could just get her to sign it here." And he was like, "Ah, ha, ha, very funny." Because he thought I was another cosplayer. So when I took off my helmet for that guy, like, that was a great reaction. But then there's also still people who really don't know what I look like. So about half the people in the crowd, they were in shock. And then the other half were kind of going, "What?
Who is she?
What's happening?" Yeah.
Oh my God. I'd never even thought of that. Of like, yeah, there are some people who like watch the show, but like wouldn't know what you look like underneath it.
And then there was a convention more recently where I had it on and I stood in line at Giancarlo's table And I approached him and kind of like gave him my head so he would sign my helmet. And just as he was about to sign it, I took it off. And it's hard to get a big reaction out of Giancarlo, but he was in shock. And that was particularly delicious.
I bet that was very fun to do.
Yes.
So you talk about, not you talk about, the character talks about walking the way. Mm-hmm. And I think, just to completely switch from conventions to something a little bit more deep, a little bit more, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm off base here, but I feel like this character is quite spiritual. You know, yes. She's got that kind of philosophical, kind of spiritual way about her. And so I think what I would love to know from you is, what does walking the way really mean to you personally?
Well, for me personally in my life, or as the character, or both?
As both, either or.
What I think is the Mandalorian way is, I think that the image of it that captures it the best is that scene in season one, the third episode maybe, where Din Djarin is surrounded by all the bounty hunters because he's decided to go rescue Grogu, who we don't know is Grogu yet. He's just a little green guy. And all of these Mandalorians, including Paz Vizsla, who had been totally anti-Din Djarin, they all come out of the shadows and come together to defend him. Many of them having no idea who he is, having no idea the importance of his mission, but they know that he's a fellow Mandalorian who needs help, and he's trying to protect this child. And so they just step up. So I think for the Mandalorians and for myself, it's a selflessness, and it's a willing to think more about what the greater good is rather than what's just good for me. And in my own personal faith, because I am a Christian, and it's kind of funny because this is the way is in the Bible many times.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of that love thy neighbor. But I've also been thinking a lot more about it because I've started doing something called This Is the Way Wednesdays, where I post about people who are walking the way. And I think that something else that strikes me is it's also a willingness to step outside of your comfort zone and to try something that challenges you, even though you might look foolish. I mean, I think that's something also that Mandalorians do. Mm-hmm. So I think it's different for everybody, but it really is sort of like a shedding of ego and shedding of like trying to look good and thinking more, sacrificing that for what's going to be better for other people and probably therefore for yourself, because I think we become better versions of ourselves when we are serving other people, not to the extent of, you know, being a rug that people walk all over, but to a degree.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I think it's so important to make sure we're looking outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I feel like so often, like within society, we don't do that enough. And I feel like it's a really good reminder to see it on, you know, on the TV, like to see, you know, in The Mandalorian, it's nice to see that there's that sense of community. And I feel like your character is at the heart of that, and like continuing to make sure that there is that community, that you are living by, you know, the ways in which the Mandalorians should be living, but also having that sense of like, yeah, like you say, looking outside of yourself and serving others in a good sense.
Yes.
So I just think it's a very beautiful character to get to play, you know. And I think, I mean, this brings me on to my last question, really, which is, what is one thing that the Armorer stands for that you wish more people would stand for in life?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I love that. I think it's her faith in the greater good, faith that like giving people the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And I think also encompassed in that is because she has faith in other people, in things working out for the best. She's willing to listen, even when she doesn't agree. I love so much that she and Bo, who so many people thought were going to just have a knockdown, drag out fight in season three, that they're the two that came together and said, you know, maybe we could try doing this a different way. And I think she was only able to do that because she had faith in what was inside of Bo, mm-hmm. rather than just, you know, how she displayed being a Mandalorian externally. So, and I love that the show does things like that. I think that we pick up so much from the stories we watch, and they are, sometimes they're a reflection of the culture, and sometimes they're sort of a beacon to the culture to say, come this way a little bit more. And I think that faith in the people around her and in a willingness to listen is something that we all could use a lot more of.
Definitely. Definitely. I love that. I think we definitely all need to be walking the way a little bit. Yes. So just before we go, I would love to do some quick fire questions with you.
Okay.
Okay. Right. They're not too scary. Don't worry. Okay. Right. First question. Yay or nay, the armorer dying in a blaze of glory?
Oh, yay.
Sunrise or sunset?
Ah, these days sunrise.
Ah.
I love
cats
them
or dogs?
Dogs. Hardcore.
That was like solid.
Yeah.
Dogs all the way.
Don't have to think about it.
Video game voice work or animated voice work?
Animated voice work.
Favorite sci-fi or Star Wars planet?
Oh, Mandalore. I mean, obvs.
I mean, I'd be very upset if you said anything else. tea or coffee?
Coffee, although I'm not supposed to be drinking as much of it, not because of the caffeine, but apparently I'm allergic to an extent to coffee. So I'm trying to enjoy tea.
I'm so sorry for you.
Yeah.
I feel horrendous because coffee is like life, isn't it?
And the flavor is so, you can't get that anywhere else.
You know it. No, tea. I mean, I like a tea, but it's not the same. Mm-mm. It's not the same. Okay, holiday or no thanks, I'll stay. So abroad or a staycation?
Abroad.
And finally, which karaoke song would you pick? I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys, I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor, or Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, Sweet Child of Mine.
Solid.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for joining us today. It was an absolute privilege to talk to you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before you go?
I would love it if people would go to my Instagram and suggest people to highlight for This Is The Way Wednesday.
Okay, amazing. Well, listeners out there, you heard her. Go and get people walking there.
Yeah.
Go and submit, guys.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Emily.
Thank you. Wonderful to talk with you.
Thanks for listening to Spotlight with Kat Siggers. If you want to hear more, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. This episode has been brought to you by Nerdspin. Join our Patreon community to support our show, enjoy ad-free listening, and gain exclusive access to submit questions to our guests. Thanks for listening. I've been your host, Kat Siggers. Until next time, you lovely lot, over and out.